Happy Monday, everybody. My name is Brandon Rose, and welcome to episode 253 of the Xbox in 10 podcast, your weekly source of Xbox gaming news covered in around 10 minutes. Every Monday, this podcast covers new game releases, the previous week's gaming news, and we all learn an Xbox-related fun fact together. The show is on YouTube and podcast services around the world, so please do me a favor, subscribe in your favor, and then leave a review if you like the show. Xboxin10.com, no numbers, is your quick source for links to all of our podcast destinations and social media profiles, which you can follow at Xboxin10. To start, let's talk game releases. The big game out last week was Grandia HD Collection, and the games coming out this week include Alchemist the Potion Monger, Deceit 2, Knowledge Keeper, Freedom Planet 2, Super Destronaut Landed Exploded, and Withering Rooms. Now into last week's biggest stories, and we have five to cover this week. Number 1, Xbox could feature Epic Game Store and other storefronts someday. Tom West at True Achievements writes, "It appears that Phil Spencer is looking at new ways to shake up the Xbox experience as a way to, quote, make Xbox stronger in the long run, end quote. During a recent interview, Phil Spencer hinted that we could potentially see third-party storefronts arrive on Xbox, bringing the console experience more in line with PC. During a recent interview, Polygon asked Phil Spencer if he could, quote, really see a future where stores like itch.io and Epic Games existed on Xbox, end quote, and whether it was, quote, just a matter of figuring out mountains of paperwork to get there, end quote, to which the Xbox boss replied, quote, yes, end quote. Quote, consider our history as the Windows company. Nobody would blink twice if I said, hey, when you're using a PC, you get to decide the type of experience you have by picking where to buy games, end quote, Spencer said. Quote, there's a real value in that, end quote. We've already seen Microsoft take steps to extend its reach by launching some Xbox exclusives on rival platforms, but it seems Spencer also aims to lower barriers on Xbox as well. According to Spencer, exclusivity with games and subsidizing consoles isn't as feasible now. Quote, subsidizing hardware becomes more challenging in today's world, end quote, Spencer said. Quote, and I will say, and this may seem too altruistic, I don't know that it's growing the industry. So I think, what are the barriers? What are the things that create friction in today's world for creators and players, and how can we be a part of opening up that model, end quote. Quote, if I want to play on a gaming PC, then I feel like I'm more a continuous part of a gaming ecosystem as a whole, end quote, Spencer later adds. Quote, as opposed to on console, my gaming is kind of sharded, to use a gaming term, based on these different closed ecosystems that I have to play across, end quote. This is really tantalizing, but Phil Spencer, especially lately, and when I say lately, I want to say over the last year and a half, he sure does a lot of talking, doesn't he? And shouldn't you really be doing all this talking if you are the CEO of Xbox? I don't know, but I do think it's really, really interesting. If you can have those massive libraries at the power on your home console, on your TV, I don't know, it might make a lot more people interested in console gaming, and specifically Xbox, and I damn well don't think it's something that Sony or Nintendo would ever do, so could help separate them out a little bit and increase that competition. Number 2, as official Xbox handheld rumors swirl, Phil Spencer reveals what he wants from it. Wesley Umpool at IGN writes, Microsoft is heavily rumored to be preparing to release an official Xbox handheld, and while he stopped short of announcing it in a new interview, Xbox boss Phil Spencer went as far to say what he wants from it. Speaking in an interview with Polygon, Spencer discussed various existing PC gaming handhelds, listing everything that he would add to the experience of using them to make them feel like an Xbox. This includes having access to all your games with associated save files, being able to boot into the Xbox app full screen but in a compact mode, and having all the social experiences normally found on Xbox. Quote, like I want it to feel like the dash of my Xbox when I turn on the television, end quote, Spencer said, but except I want it on those devices, end quote. Spencer danced around the existence of an Xbox handheld throughout the interview, insisting hardware innovation linked with software innovation creates, quote, real inflection points in our industry, end quote, pointing to the success of the Nintendo Wii in the process. Spencer then confirmed the Xbox hardware team is considering, quote, different hardware from factors and things that they could go do, end quote. What should we build that will find new players, Spencer added. That will allow people to play at times where they couldn't go to play in the past, end quote. That sounds a lot like an Xbox handheld. Last year, leaked Quark documents revealed plans to create an Xbox handheld, although Spencer himself came out to say that the plans were outdated. In February, Microsoft announced a multi-year roadmap that includes a next-generation Xbox in the future, despite the company's plan to go multi-platform with some of its games. This is obvious, and I really hope they do it. I know some of those leaked documents suggest, with some other patents, that Xbox could be working on some type of Switch hybrid console experience in the next generation. I don't know if I want that per se, but give me the powerful Xbox native handheld. I really enjoy playing on my Logitech G Cloud, but it's a cloud remote play machine. Give me those native, and I don't know. I love having that option as an Xbox gamer. Number 3, Grounded adds New Game Plus with its last big update fully yoked. Tom West at True Achievements writes, players working through the Grounded achievements can look forward to more content arriving with the game's fully yoked update on April 16th, headlined with the arrival of Grounded's New Game Plus mode, as well as 4 new achievements. Fully Yoked, or Update 1.4, will be a free update on Xbox to coincide with Grounded's launch on PS5 and Nintendo Switch. Obsidian Entertainment gave players a look at the upcoming Fully Yoked update for Grounded during the PAX 2 official livestream over the weekend. It'll be the final content update for the game, although Obsidian will continue to drop quality of life updates in the future, and it looks like the team is going out with a bang. The headlining feature of Fully Yoked is the addition of New Game Plus, which players can activate after beating the Brood Mother, Java Mantic, Mantis, and Wasp Queen. Defeating all 4 will unlock a secret door, but what is waiting for you behind the door is being kept under wraps for now. Along with visual changes like alternate leaf colors and branding on juice and candy packaging, New Game Plus will offer a host of gameplay changes. You'll be able to keep your gear when jumping into New Game Plus, swap elements on elemental weapons at Burgle, and upgrade beyond level 9. Of course, you'll likely need those upgrades, as you'll be facing bugs with special effects and infused bosses. You'll also be able to find new weapon variants and trinkets while exploring the backyard in New Game Plus. Across the entire game, not just New Game Plus, Obsidian is adding Fire, Red, and Black Ant Queens, which aren't arriving as bosses by the looks of it. You'll be able to poison or befriend them for pet baby ants and pheromone gems, and other new gameplay changes. New tier 4 weapons will be added, as well as new mutations, swinging effects for swords, and more. Fully Yoked drops on Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PC, and Game Pass on April 16th. I want to highlight this because what is this team going to work on next? Is it going to be Grounded 2? Are they going to be working on The Outer Worlds 2? Is it going to be polishing up Avowed? I don't know, but Grounded really did catch me off guard, and I'm not a survival person, but I did put a nice chunk of hours into that game. If you haven't tried it, definitely give it a shot, and now you can even play it on PS5 and Nintendo Switch very soon. Number 4, Toys for Bob reportedly signs deal with Microsoft following decision to go independent. Sophie McVoy at GameIndustry.biz writes, Toys for Bob has reportedly signed a deal with Microsoft after parting ways with the firm last month. According to Windows Central, the studio has finalized an agreement with Xbox to fund its next title as an independent studio. The Crash Bandicoot and Spyro developers previously clarified that it was looking to explore a possible partnership with its former parent company in a post on the company's website in February. Quote, while we're in the early days of developing our next game and a ways from making any announcements, our team is excited to develop new stories, new characters, and new gameplay experiences, end quote, said studio heads Paul Yan and Avery Laudato. Quote, our friends at Activision and Microsoft have been extremely supportive of our new direction, and we're confident that we will continue to work closely together as a part of our future, end quote. Toys for Bob's decision to go independent followed 87 redundancies at the studio as part of the Microsoft layoffs in January, which also saw the closure of its physical office in San Francisco. Wanted to put this in there as Toys for Bob is like a cult classic beloved studio with their work on their remastered trilogies of Spyro and Crash Bandicoot. And the big rumors are that they are working on Spyro 4. I have never completed a single one of those games in the past, but obviously there's a lot of nostalgia for all those fans of the franchises. Number 5, Take-Two buys Gearbox from Embracer, confirms development on new Borderlands game. Rebecca Valentine at IGN writes, Embracer Group has officially divested Gearbox Entertainment, selling the division to Take-Two Interactive for $460 million. In a press release, Embracer shared that it's divesting Gearbox Software, Gearbox Montreal, Gearbox Studio Quebec, and the franchises Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Homeworld, Risk of Rain, Brothers in Arms, and Duke Nukem. Embracer will retain rights to Gearbox Publishing San Francisco, formerly Perfect World Entertainment, and which it plans to rename, the publishing rights to Remnant, Hyper Light Breaker, and other unannounced games, Cryptic Studios, Lost Boys Interactive, and Captured Dimensions. All of its retained assets will be integrated into other parts of Embracer Group. The sale is expected to close by the end of June. Gearbox will join Take-Two's 2K division and will continue to be led by CEO and founder Randy Pitchford. Currently, Gearbox has both a new Borderlands and a new Homeworld game in development, as well as at least one exciting new intellectual property per a separate press release. Notably, the full purchase price of $460 million will be paid to Embracer Group and Take-Two shares rather than cash. For comparison, Embracer originally purchased Gearbox for $363 million, half in cash, and half in newly issued Embracer Group shares with an additional consideration of $1.015 billion, also partially in shares, to be paid out if Gearbox hit certain targets within 6 years. Had to include this is one of the big ones. Embracer Group decided to buy everyone under the sun, and wow, it backfired. And what a blunder this was. You only got $460 million for them after not too long ago paying just over $1 billion. Just a complete blunder. As always, we end our show with a fun fact about Xbox, and not tangentially related to today's news stories, but I was doing some research on the World Video Game Hall of Fame. How many of you know about this out there? I certainly didn't have as much information, but for this fun fact, I wanted to include the 2024 World Video Game Hall of Fame finalists, and they are the following games. The original Asteroids, Elite, Guitar Hero, Metroid, Myst, Neopets, Resident Evil, SimCity, Tokimeki Memorial, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Ultima, and You Don't Know Jack. So, obviously, so there's some understanding games on here that you would expect, but shout out to maybe my favorite franchise of all time in Resident Evil. The original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater on PS1, just those games are something special. Really surprised to see You Don't Know Jack on here. I didn't realize how old that game was because Jackbox Party Pack was such a new thing. Neopets, I mean, who didn't play that back in the day on PC? And of course, one of my favorite gaming experiences of all time, the musical instrument genre, if you want to call it, which all started with Guitar Hero. Thank you all for listening to the Xbox in 10 podcast, your weekly source of Xbox gaming news covered in around 10 minutes. If you like the show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast service, share it with your friends, leave a review, and follow on all social media at Xbox in 10. This past week, I haven't had too much time to game, but after I'm recording, I'm looking forward to playing some more Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice as I go back through that game. I'm about 25% of the way through, and I think I'm looking at this game just a little bit tighter this time around, and I think I enjoy it more so as an experience. The voices in your head, the way it deals with mental health, but they have a lot of work to do to really beef up this game. I mean, the gameplay isn't anything special. It's a lot of just redundant puzzles. Regardless, I am so excited for Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, and it is not that far away. My name is Brandon Rose. You can follow me on Xbox at Brosa93. Hope you all have a great week. Stay safe and keep on gaming.